Wednesday, June 15, 2016. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, sports writer from Denver, Colorado. You know, we bring you a new show every single week, and we bring our own different take on the sports world. Now, if you are listening to the show right now, then I'm assuming that you know how to find it, but just in case you want to tell a friend, or you want to tell like a stadium of friends, or you want to like tell every single person that you work with where to find the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, whatever, just let them know. They can go to iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play. They can head over to rogueintel.com and listen to the show there too. And while they're there, I'm sure that they will find some other things that they will like. They'll find some other podcasts that they will like. There are a number of shows to choose from over there. You can also go to dailydosesports.wordpress.com. That is our website, and you can find an article or two there that you will like. We post a new article there every single week. We do post a link to the show there as well. If you would like to contact the show, if you would like to contact Daily Dose, we would love to hear from you. And, you know, we will be reading some emails here in the upcoming weeks. You know, I try to hold on, and every once in a while I'll get an email that I'm like, I need to read this right away. But every once in a while, we'll kind of space it out and collect a few good ones. And I've got a couple that I've received just over the last few months that we're going to be reading. But if you would like to chip in, if you have something that you would like to add, you got a question, you got a comment, you need some advice on something, oh, we are good. I'm telling you right now, you can go back and listen to some of the past shows. We are really, really good at giving advice. Feel free to shoot us an email. You can hit us at dailydosesports@gmail.com. That is D-A-L-Y, dailydosesports@gmail.com. And you can also find us on Facebook or on Twitter, of course. Both of those handles, by the way, are at Daily Dose Sports. This week on the show, a few things we got to get to. Of course, we're going to talk NBA Finals. Game 5 took place last night. We've got to touch on that. Got to touch kind of just how that whole series has gone. Been some interesting things happening in the NBA Finals that I want to get to. The Stanley Cup Finals are over. Stanley Cup Final. It's final in hockey. It's not finals. It's final in hockey. Whatever. It's over. We have a new champion. We have a new Stanley Cup champion. I want to talk briefly about them. The NFL and college football are both in the news this week. And of course, we will have our Daily Dose Top 5. You never want to miss that. You got to make sure that you stick around. A couple things coming out today, here on Wednesday, that I wanted to discuss just briefly. Dallas Cowboys running back Darren McFadden had surgery on a broken right elbow yesterday. And they're saying that that could keep him out of the September 11th season opener against the New York Giants. Now, that's not newsworthy because, let's be honest, Darren McFadden gets hurt every single day. Like, he gets up and he gets hurt when he's just getting out of bed, and then he gets hurt on the way to the shower, and then he gets hurt getting dressed, then he gets hurt on his way to practice, then he gets hurt at lunch. I mean, but here's the thing that kind of stands out to me, because McFadden's been hurt his whole career. Coach Jason Garrett said the injury happened over Memorial Day at McFadden's house when McFadden fell while trying not to drop his cell phone. I guess I'm a little bit surprised it's taken this long. Because, you know, when you're carrying your phone and you're doing something and you're like, oh, I can't drop my phone, and you take one for... You can't do that, though, when you make your living with your body, Darren McFadden. That's not going to work well when that's what you do. Like, your job is to carry a football with that elbow. It doesn't go over too big when you... I saved the cell phone, though. Nice job. Well done. I mean, I guess we've all done something along the... Well, maybe not quite that stupid, but, you know, you don't want to drop the cell phone. You don't want to... So you make sure you land on your shoulder or you land on your face or whatever. Yeah, dude landed on his elbow and might miss the season opener. When that's your job, probably not a good choice. The NHL is saying that by 2017-2018, they would like to expand their league. And one of the places they will look is Las Vegas. I'm telling you right now, professional sports is coming to Sin City. We talked about this with John a few weeks ago. Would the Raiders consider moving to Vegas? Is this really going to happen? It's happening. It's just a matter of time. We're going to have a professional sports team or two or three in Las Vegas. There's too many people there. And there's too many ways to sell it. I realize that the crowd there might change from week to week to week, but you can sell that. You can get a Super Bowl there. You could, you know, possibly have, you know, a baseball all-star game there. There are things you can sell in Vegas. And people that maybe say, well, I don't know if I want to go to the Super Bowl. I don't know if I want to go, you know, down to Miami. I'll go to Vegas. There's a lot of people who go to Vegas. They can sell it. A lot of things that can definitely happen. Of course, the big news this week is the NBA Finals, and like I said, we will get to that. But locally, here in Denver, the big news this week was on Sunday when the Denver Broncos picked up their Super Bowl 50 championship rings. Yes, yes, the Super Bowl champs are here in Denver. We are back to being title town for now. Peyton Manning was there. He took time away from recording some commercials, and he came out. Von Miller was there. Von Miller, who was in the middle of at least a little bit of a contract squabble. He has been named a franchise player, and they have got to get him signed to a new deal within a month. Aqib Talib was there, fresh off of shooting himself in the leg or whatever happened down in Dallas. I don't know what happened, but he was also there. It sounds like he kind of shot himself in the leg. Here's the problem, and here's the thing you never want to admit. And this, again, we are in the business here at the Daily Dose of helping people. Sometimes I just try to help you. Here's just some advice, and you can just take this and you can file it away, and you go, for future use, I'm just going to keep that in mind. When Aqib Talib came out and said what happened, so they say, well, you were at a club or you were in a park or what, his answer was, I was too drunk, I don't really remember what happened. As a rule, never admit that. That'll get you in some trouble right there. Coming out and just saying, yeah, I was a little too drunk, I don't really remember, I don't know. I mean, I might have shot myself. At least, I'm not saying those things don't happen. I'm just saying don't admit it. Like, hold on to that. Like, keep that to yourself. Yeah, I was in a park and like five guys came up to me and one of them grabbed my gun and shot me with it. Something. Don't admit that. But Aqib Talib was there. He was getting his ring. Everyone was basically there. I mean, all the former, well, Brock Osweiler wasn't there. He says he was too busy working out in Houston. I think we all know he's probably afraid of getting a swirly from his former teammates. But bottom line, the Denver Broncos got their Super Bowl 50 World Championship ring on Sunday. And I'll give you just kind of a brief description. If you haven't seen it, you can certainly go Google and look the thing up. But let me kind of break down a little bit of what the ring looks like. It is gold, obviously, with 194 diamonds. It totals out at just over 5 carats. It has a Bronco head and three trophies on the face, which represent the three Super Bowls that the Broncos have won. And on the side, it says the player's name, it says their number, whatever. And then on the other side, it says this one's for Pat in honor of longtime Broncos owner Pat Bowlen, who is suffering from Alzheimer's. Wonderful sentiment. Great design and great idea to put Pat Bowlen in there. And these rings, though, they are so gaudy. I mean, like, as wonderful a sentiment as that is, and when you see the ring, you're like, oh, no, that's really... These things are so gaudy that, like, Liberace is like, it's a little too showy for me. I don't know. I don't think I want to wear that. That seems like just a little too much. I realize that teams, and we hear about this in professional sports all the time, all these teams go, hey, we're looking, you know, they go on these quests for this ring. Hey, we're just looking for a ring. I just want to get a ring. This year, the only thing I care about is we want to win a ring. Every single season, that's what we hear these guys. But these things are starting to get a little over the top. 194, 5 carats? They're starting to look like a WWE championship belt on your finger. It might be time to dial back these big, ugly monstrosities just a little. Like a few hundred. Like 100 diamonds is probably good. 120 maybe. But 194, just it seems like too much. And nobody wears them. Like, I've been around people who have like, national championship rings or what. You don't wear them. They're too big. They're too horrible. Like, you could never possibly wear. The only guy wearing them is like the assistant to the groundskeeper when he's out, you know, trolling for some hotties on the Friday night at like Bennigan's. He's like, hey, did you see my ring? Nobody wears these things. It's time to slow down in the NFL. Back off the rings on all these sports. NBA does it too. And it's just, if you get the ring, have it be something that you could. These are ridiculous. They're getting stupid. Speaking of the NFL, last week, someone hacked the official NFL Twitter. The NFL Twitter account has over 19 million followers. And someone apparently guessed the password correctly. Now, you might think that the person who did this must be like a genius, right? To come up with what the password could possibly be. No, that's actually not the case. And I have evidence that tells me the person who did get into the account probably actually not that bright. Let me throw out some evidence for you just to prove my point. First off, they started following exactly one account. Now, if you break in and you get into the NFL account, you can't just follow your own account. Like, that everyone knows it's you. And the account is titled "I Diss Everything." That's the Twitter name. I Diss Everything. That account has since been removed. But they start you just follow the one account. Then whoever this was that hacked in posted. This was the tweet from the NFL. "We regret to inform our fans that our commissioner Roger Goodell has passed away. He was 57." Okay, which did get a few hundred likes. It got like 500 and some likes. But that's the best you can do? Like, you got in, you snuck into the mall after hours as like an 8-year-old kid, and the best you could do was, like, I don't know, dig around in like the fountain for a while and get a few quarters. Come on, man. First, follow a bunch of accounts, not just yours. It kind of might throw them off the scent of you know, idiot. Idiot. Second, couldn't you post something a little more creative than Roger Goodell died? I mean, as soon as everyone saw it, yes, there's a couple morons out there that are like, Roger Goodell died and the NFL just tweeted it. No. But imagine if he had posted something interesting. Imagine if they had gotten in there and said something like, new uniform rule, wear whatever you want, guys. You know, okay. Of course, you know, something that might have been pretty popular. Yes, we know about concussions. We aren't dumb football players. I mean, the whole CTE thing could have taken a big hit. I would have liked to have seen something like, Tom Brady, you know you did it. Just admit it. But be creative. If you get into the NFL Twitter, you have to at least be creative. Now, they say that the password to get into the NFL Twitter was actually pretty complex. Like, it was like capital and small and pretty long, and a number of different numbers were in it. But I don't know. I feel like I could probably guess what it was. Like, CTE is not real. I don't know how many letters is that. Is that too many? That might be too many. I Hate Brady. I Hate Brady might be in there. Goodell is God. Maybe that's Goodell is God. Roger thinks a little bit of himself, doesn't he? Maybe Roger Goodell, you know, did make it himself. And if he made it himself, I don't know. Maybe it wasn't as complex as what they're saying. Maybe his password was just 12345.
No! Wait! I'll tell.
I knew it would work. All right, give it to me.
The combination is... 1.
1.
1.
2.
2.
2.
3.
3.
3.
4.
4.
4.
5.
5.
5.
So the combination is... 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
That's the stupidest combination I ever heard in my life. That's the kind of thing an idiot would have on his luggage.
Thank you, Your Highness.
Well, did it work? Where's the key?
It worked, sir. We have the combination.
Great. What's the combination?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yes.
That's amazing. I've got the same combination on my luggage.
If you don't know that clip, that's from Spaceballs. And I mean, I'm telling you, you need to go back and watch that. One other small piece of NFL news that I would like to pass along. It seems that San Diego, the San Diego Chargers, they had their OTAs last week, and their third overall pick, Ohio State defensive end Joey Bosa, they're saying did not win a single drill repetition. Of all the drills they did in practice, he didn't win one single time. Now, that might be just a young kid, and he was a little out of shape, and he just going against, you know, NFL talent is a little bit different of a deal. Or maybe the Chargers' draft woes are continuing. When we think of some of the players that the Chargers, yes, they got Keenan Allen. Nice job. Melvin Gordon. Melvin Ingram's, Manti Te'o. I don't know. There could be a trend here with Chargers. And now they're saying that Joey Bosa is talking about skipping some of the mini camps and things like that. He doesn't have a contract quite yet. There's a rookie salary cap. How much money are you real holding out for? There's not that much out there. You might want to get in, because if you couldn't win a single drill rep, you clearly need the practice. Joey Bosa is going to get himself in some trouble if he's not careful. And the San Diego Chargers are starting to worry me a little bit with the way they are selecting players. Remember last week, we talked a little bit. We talked some college football, and we talked about some college football programs that are having some off-season struggles. Well, there's one program that is still trying to somehow make it worse. There, like, as bad as that was, some of the things we talked about last week, there is one program out there now that is kind of compounding what they were doing. We will tell you who that is in just 1 minute. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
Yeah, every time I go to get new body armor or some more drones, I always go to Amazon. But I don't just go to any Amazon. I go to rogueintel.com/Amazon. So this way I can help out my favorite podcast with every purchase I make. And I know I purchase a lot. Get to the chopper now!
Dear podcast listener, we accept the fact that we have to sacrifice not only our Wednesdays, but our Fridays as well to entertain you. But we think you are crazy to make us do a promo telling you who we think we are. When you listen to our podcast, you think you know who we are, in the simplest terms, in the most convenient definitions. But what we found out is that each one of us is a dork.
I had the basket case, and I'm a princess.
And I'm a pothead.
Does that answer your question? Sincerely yours, The Prime Podcast. Find out more at theprimepod.com. Think of the tender things.
Now, before we get to the college football program that is trying to drain a little more out of the pool that we already have no respect for them, we'll get to that in just 1 second. You might have missed this, though. University of Florida Athletic Director Jeremy Foley has announced he is retiring after 25 years of being the AD down at the University of Florida. That will be effective October 1st. You might not realize this. Jeremy Foley might be the most successful athletic director in the country. Won 27 national championships under his watch. He hired Urban Meyer. He hired Billy Donovan. He hired softball coach Tim Walton. You might not realize this, but he is the only athletic director out there that has won multiple championships in both basketball and football. Only guy that did it. Be careful, University of Florida. Because I remember what you used to be, and I remember who you were before Jeremy Foley got there. And you were kind of that program that was always kind of the hard luck program, that always kind of lost the big game program. Don't go back to that. You better go find someone as good as Jeremy Foley. And that's going to be really, really difficult to do. But Florida had better go find somebody really, really good. They're losing a great one in Jeremy Foley. Now, like I told you last week, Baylor was in the process of firing their head football coach, Art Briles, because his football players were out there raping and pillaging the campus like the Dothraki in Game of Thrones. Baylor had suspended Briles with intent to terminate. As either Briles knew about the assaults going on, and just ignored them, or he completely had his head in the sand. Now there is a movement among some of the Baylor donors and boosters to just suspend Briles for the 2016 season, but then bring him back in 2017. This is happening while there are allegations of not one or two, multiple sexual assaults committed by football players. And that Baylor did not provide any assistance, they failed to investigate, and they failed to punish the players in any way that were involved. In fact, even the Waco police down there were apparently keeping the cases from going public. Okay, that's not a misunderstanding. That's not a, oh, oops, sorry, we missed that. I don't know how that got by us. Now, I've heard some people on the other side of this argument. And what the argument is, well, can you really prove what Art Briles knew? Because in a court case, that's all that matters. Can you prove it? If you are firing someone, you have to have a cause to fire this person. And if you don't have a cause to fire them, then you can't just let him go. If you let him go, you got to pay him. But you have to have a cause to fire him. You have to have a reason for. Can they prove what Art Briles knew? Can they prove? Well, yes. Here's what he knew, and despite knowing this, he still went out and he hid this evidence, or he did. Maybe they can't prove that. And if that's the case, that's what this group is arguing. That's what they're arguing. You can't prove Art Briles knew anything. He might not have known anything. Now, of course, there is the whole, well, then apparently he's an idiot and his program was running amok. I mean, there is that argument out there. If he didn't know, he should have known because it was his players out there doing. I have a hard time believing he didn't know. What can you prove, though? But here's the problem from that side. This isn't in court. This isn't in front of a judge. This isn't in front of a jury. That's not what is being argued here. So while you consider and say, well, it's only what they can prove, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's like the Donald Sterling thing out with the Clippers. Should he have been recorded by his whatever, mistress, girlfriend, whatever she was, in his own house? Should he have been? I don't know. But it doesn't make any difference because the information is out there. And in the court of public opinion, you're guilty. And it's the same thing here with Briles. You can sit there and you can say, well, hey, you can't prove it. We can go to court. We can fight this. We want to bring him back. We're going to suspend him for a year. Now, if he didn't do anything wrong, what are you even suspending him for? I don't even understand what the suspension would be for. But we're going to suspend him for a year, and then we're going to bring him back, and everything's fine because he's too good of a football coach to lose over something. The president got fired. They fired Ken Starr, the president. This is all on him. The football coach has nothing. The football coach isn't the sheriff. The football coach isn't the police officer. No, but here's where you get into trouble. When you are guilty in court of public opinion, as soon as those sponsorships, as soon as those other boosters start saying, yeah, we don't want anything to do with this program, you can sit there and say, we're going to do whatever we want. We're Baylor. We're a private school. We're going to do it the way we want to. And there's a number of rich boosters out there that are saying that until some of those other boosters start pulling those checks. And then playtime is over. Like I said, very similar to the Clippers situation with Donald Sterling. Hey, he can stay. There's nothing legally that says he can't stay. Well, yeah, until the sponsorships stop coming in. Until those checks start coming in. When the checks stop, it's time for you to go. And that might be what they're facing here at Baylor. Like, as horrible as the things are that I've heard about Baylor and the assaults that were going on down there, and they were hiding it, and players were not even being, they weren't being disciplined. They were being sent to other schools without giving the other schools warning of what these guys had done. As bad as that is, now we have some of these boosters that have never been told no in their life. And now they're so rich, they're just like, hey, we're keeping them anyways. I don't care what you guys think. We're keeping them anyways. You can't prove anything in court. You don't have to. You don't have to prove anything in court. You just got to prove it to the right people that are cutting them checks. Because when the checks stop, Briles will be out very, very quickly. In the NHL, want to talk a little bit of NHL. Just a few days after we lost boxing legend Muhammad Ali And of course, we talked about Muhammad Ali with Frankie Sanchez last week on the podcast. If you missed episode 80, go back and find it and listen to it. I have heard back from a number of listeners that really, really enjoyed that episode. They enjoyed the interview with Frankie. They enjoyed the top five last week. I appreciate the sentiment. I appreciate the feedback. Very, very nice to hear from all of you. But just a few days after we lost boxing legend Muhammad Ali, we lost one of the greatest hockey players in history. Gordie Howe passed away last Friday. And, you know, Mr. Hockey, you know, he could do everything. I mean, we throw that term around a lot. No, he could do it. No, this guy literally could do everything. He popularized the Gordie Howe hat trick. If you don't know what the Gordie Howe hat trick is, that is a goal, an assist, and a fight all in the same game. I mean, Gordie Howe was a tough, tough dude. Get this. Gordie Howe competed in the NHL in five different decades. Five? Five different decades? Not 5 years. Five decades? In the 40s, the 50s, the 60s, the 70s, the 80s. Five different decades he competed in. He scored 869 career goals in the NHL alone. This isn't counting minor league stuff and you know, all that. 869 just in the NHL. Scored over 2,000 career points just in the NHL. Wayne Gretzky was the greatest scorer ever. I don't think that's debatable. What he did scoring-wise, Wayne Gretzky, he was a freak. He rewrote the record books with his scoring. But Gordie Howe might have been the greatest player. Wayne Gretzky says Gordie Howe is the greatest player. He might have been the greatest player ever in the history of hockey. Did it for a long time and did it very, very well. Gordie Howe, pretty amazing player. Seems like we're just kind of in that era right now where we're losing a lot of people that meant a lot to so many people. We're losing a lot of names that we remembered. Maybe it's from our childhood. Maybe it's from, you know, our parents a little bit. But we're losing a lot of the... And I've got news for you. I think a few more of those might be coming. We might have to talk about that in a future episode. Might have to talk. I'm not going to do it right now. But we might have to talk about that in a future episode. Pittsburgh Penguins wrapped up the 2016 Stanley Cup. They beat the San Jose Sharks on Sunday night to win the Cup in six games. I'm not going to break down the series. I'll be honest with you. Really, really fun to watch. Really entertaining series to watch. Hockey is just fun. NHL hockey, especially in the postseason, it's just a different animal. Every single shift has so much on it. People are living and dying on that. My biggest thing, really, was that I just wanted the series to go longer. I didn't particularly care who would win it. I think I picked the Penguins in seven, but I didn't really care who won it. I wanted more hockey. I wanted another game. But you have to give the Pittsburgh Penguins a ton of credit. This is a team, don't forget, that started 15-10-3. They fired their coach. Sidney Crosby had just 19 points when they fired their coach. They brought in Mike Sullivan. He gets the Penguins playing fast. He gets them playing with momentum. And Sidney Crosby wins the Conn Smythe for NHL playoff MVP. He scored 19 points in the postseason alone. That's how many he had when they had fired their coach. NHL is over. Fun season. Entertaining postseason as it always is. I know it doesn't get the run that a lot of the big sports get, but you would be well advised to tune in for a few of these games. Okay. Let's get to the NBA. We know the NBA is on everybody's mind. Let's get to the NBA Finals. Let's be real honest. It hasn't been very good. Let's be real clear. It hasn't been very pretty. It hasn't been very fun to watch. I mean, I have to watch it. I got to kind of keep up with it. At least have an idea what's going on. There's been times I want to change the channel. It's not very entertaining. But it has had some drama. I'll give it that. It at least has had some drama. Of course, the Warriors won the first two games by a combined 48 points. Those two games weren't even close. I mean, it was ugly. It was painful. It wasn't even a competition. There were these little gaps where you're like, oh, yeah, it's 6, 8, 10, 15, 19, 21. I mean, 48 points combined first two games. And then game three, they go back to Cleveland. And somehow now Cleveland is magically all better and Golden State looks horrible. Cleveland wins game three by 30. And I really, honestly, I got the feeling that both teams they play in these stretches where they're just kind of lackadaisical. Like, the team that played hard wins. Is that really what it should be at this level? Whoever just plays hard? I'll be honest. I thought the first three games of this series were pretty embarrassing. If you can't get up for the NBA Finals and you can't play hard, there's a problem with the current system. I don't know if it's too many games or if it's the mentality of the players or if this mentality that is just kind of a summer league mentality where you have these guys that are like, well, if we don't win today, we'll just play again tomorrow. I don't know what it is, but it's painful to watch. It's not very good. All these modern teams that are talking about what they would do to the teams, I've got news for you. The teams in the 70s and 80s and 90s, you don't play hard enough to play with them. We'll have to talk about maybe some of those, you know, situations at some point this summer. We'll have to get some of those. But I look at some of these teams today. You don't play every night. You don't play hard. Three different games, all blowouts, but one of them by a completely different, just kind of weird. And there's too many games. I've told you that before. These guys are worn down. They're tired. By the time they're getting to the finals, they're playing their 100th sometimes game. Finally, though, in game four, we got at least an interesting game. I won't say a good game. I didn't think it was a very good game. I thought both teams were sloppy at times. I thought Cleveland especially was sloppy in game four. But the Warriors went 17 of 36 from three-point range. And remember what I told you. Threes more than two. They went 25 of 31 at the free throw line, while the Cavs were 6 of 25 from three-point range and only 15 of 26 at the line. Kyrie Irving went 14 of 28. And LeBron, I know everybody said in game four, hey, LeBron, you know, he had some really, really good spots. He had 25 points. He had 13 rebounds. He had 9 assists. He was one assist shy of a triple-double. But he also had 7 turnovers. The Warriors ended up winning 108-97 in game four. So they take a 3-1 lead. But that actually wasn't the story. Of course it wasn't. Because things got kind of interesting late. See, LeBron James and Draymond Green, they get tangled up, and down goes Green. And then as he's trying to get up, LeBron kind of steps over, kind of straddles over him. Now, that might not sound like much, but I'm telling you right now, I've been around the game of basketball for a long time. That's a playground move. That's the move that the guy that's guarding you slips and falls and you step over him. And you may kind of put something in his face. And, you know, that's a taunt. That's an old playground move. So Draymond gets up. He kind of scrambles up and he kind of blindly swings at LeBron to kind of get off of him. And from the instant replay, certain angle, we were able to kind of get an idea. He appears to hit LeBron in the giblets. What do you want to call him? LeBron doesn't react to the hit, so he clearly didn't hit, you know, very hard. And the two, they kind of get mad, and they kind of go chest to chest, and Draymond calls him a name, and LeBron is offended, and they kind of go back and forth, and they have to be split apart. You know the NBA fight thing? I've told you in the past. There's a difference between a fight and an NBA fight. A fight, guys get together, push, shove, boom, punch is thrown, start kicking, start, you know, everything just goes crazy. In the NBA, what you do is you're really like you're kind of mad, but you're like, I haven't been in a fight since I was like 4 because I've always been bigger than every other kid. So in the NBA, what they do is they get up close to each other and they say things, but they don't really want to fight because they're like nose to nose. If you want to fight, just start hooking. What they do is they wait for guys to get in between them and, hey, hold me back. No, oh yeah, I wish I could have a piece of you. You know, then they start getting really angry. And that's kind of what happened here. You had an NBA kind of fight, you know, the hold me back kind of fight. The refs call a double foul. They split them up. They call a double foul. No technicals given. Game ends. The Warriors win. They're up 3-1. The NBA then announces on Sunday that Draymond Green, who at this point might be the series MVP, I don't know, has been suspended from Game 5 on Monday night. He was assessed a flagrant foul by the league 2 days after the fact. The NBA also announced that LeBron James was assessed a technical for his role, which is kind of like me assessing you with a leprechaun with a pot of gold right now. It's pretty meaningless. So let me see if I have this right. because I'm sure I have this confused. They get kind of tangled up. LeBron kind of causes the tangle, kind of pushes Draymond down, and then steps over him. Draymond gets up, kind of takes a blind swing. You can see he doesn't see what he's hitting. He just throws his arm out there, kind of takes a blind shot. Whether he connects, whether he doesn't, he obviously didn't hurt anyone. I don't think LeBron even knew that he had hit him. And then they go back a few days later, and the NBA decides we're going to assign him a flagrant foul. Now, the problem, of course, with that is that now Draymond has accumulated enough flagrant fouls that he gets a suspension. So it's not everyone sitting there saying, well, it's not really that he hit LeBron. That wasn't what the suspension was for. The suspension was an accumulation of some of the flagrant fouls he's had already. Let me see if I have this straight, because I'm sure I'm confusing this again. You get penalized the further you go into the playoffs. So a team that got knocked out in the first round, he can do three or four things because he knows he's going home in the first round. He's terrible, you know. Indiana or one of these teams that went out in the first round, they can do whatever they want in those. But if you keep playing and you get into the next round and then you get into the next round, then you've accumulated enough stuff that you might actually get set. Aren't you penalizing the better teams at that point? I mean, the teams that go farther, shouldn't it reset at the beginning of the next series or something? I don't know if that makes a whole lot of sense. Seems a little bit odd. So Golden State played game five last night in their home arena at Golden State without Draymond Green. He had to sit out because he had too many technicals. He had too many flagrant fouls. They weren't even technicals. They were flagrant fouls. So he sits out, and no surprise, Cleveland wins the game. LeBron and Kyrie go absolutely crazy. They combine for 82 points, and the NBA gets exactly what it wanted. The series was 3-1. It was probably going to end. Now the series goes one game more, maybe two games more. Oh, I know. I know. The NBA would never do that. They would never manipulate situations like that, right? Right? We'll talk a little bit more about that in just a few minutes. But remember that Draymond Green had the kick on Steven Adams in the Oklahoma City series. Remember that? He went up. I think he got fouled. And the ball kind of flew out of his arms, and at the same time, he kicked up and kicked Steven Adams. No suspension. He was given a flagrant two, no suspension. Remember, though, at that point, Golden State was down 3-1. A suspension probably ends the series. The NBA didn't want that either. They don't want that. So they suspend him for a flagrant one that at the time wasn't called anything. Yeah, that's not sketchy at all. That seems like that just went right by the book, didn't it? I mean, the NBA is above reproach in this regard, right? There's no reason to doubt their integrity. Now, Game 6 is on Thursday in Cleveland. Warriors up 3-2, and if they lose in Cleveland, it goes to a Game 7. Huh. Isn't it funny how these things turn out? Very, very interesting. Now, in the game on Monday night in Game 5, the biggest difference without Draymond Green in there that we saw was that the Golden State Warriors are just completely incapable of defending the paint. And when we saw Cleveland get going early and scoring, I'm watching the game, and I'm seeing Golden State shoot the lights out. Early, Klay's hitting everything. Harrison Barnes hits a few. Steph hits a couple here or there. But they're not going on this huge lopsided run because Cleveland is getting everything they want in the paint. They're going inside. They're getting layups. They're getting all they want in the paint. And then, big surprise, we start to see LeBron's jumper mid-range, about free throw line extended, starts dropping. Kyrie Irving starts hitting his mid-range game. Pretty soon they start backing up. LeBron's taking the three. He's hitting that. He's hitting the fadeaway. He's settling for bad shots, and they're going down. Why? Because they got whatever they wanted going to the rack early. They got their confidence going. They got their rhythm going. Now they're feeling good, and everything is falling Cleveland's way. They win Game 5, and now we go back to Cleveland for Game 6. But big, big loss for the Golden State Warriors. Not only are they without Draymond Green, we saw Andrew Bogut go down with a knee injury. We'll have to wait and see how bad that is. Is he going to be available for game six? Is he not going to be available? Getting Green back would be big. Getting both Green and Bogut back would be bigger. But we saw a big, big difference in the interior defense of the Golden State Warriors on Monday night. How will that go on Thursday in Cleveland? We'll see. We'll see. Now, as we do every single week, we have got to get to our Daily Dose Top 5. Like I said, like we were just talking about, the NBA is above reproach when it comes to like competitive integrity, right? There's no reason to doubt them. So when I hear that they're not going to suspend Draymond Green from the Oklahoma City series because they're down 3-1, well, that's just how things work out. They just, for whatever reason, they just didn't feel like he needed to be suspended there. Sure, it was a flagrant two. Sure, it was called right there on the floor. But whatever, he didn't really need to be suspended. Yes, he had already racked up the points and they accumulated the points or whatever, but he didn't need to be suspended. But now he gets a flagrant one on a kind of iffy call. Yes, LeBron probably baited into him. He shouldn't have done it. Throwing the arm out there does put yourself at risk. But then I see the NBA kind of switch that and say, well, now we're going to suspend him because they're up 3-1, so they can afford a little more. I don't know. There's no reason to doubt the NBA on this, is there? Well, there's probably not a single reason to doubt the NBA on this, is there? Not when it comes to competitive integrity, right? Yeah, there's probably not one reason. There's probably like 1,000 reasons. Today's Daily Dose Top 5, the top 5 NBA conspiracies. They probably aren't true. They're probably, and the whole Draymond Green thing, not being suspended and then being, that's just all a wacky coincidence, right? Right? Well, let's see. Because some of these, I'll be honest, some of these that made, and they're the most popular conspiracies. It's not necessarily that I picked the nastiest ones or the ones that really, really look the worst. They're just the most popular ones. I just picked the most popular. But here's a few conspiracies that have happened in the NBA that might make you reconsider. Number 5 on our list, Michael Jordan's first retirement. The big rumor was that the reason he retired that first time was that it was dictated by the league because of all his gambling. We do know that the NBA was investigating Jordan's gambling habits. Of course, nothing came of it. And Jordan's dad had been, you know, murdered. And he wanted to get away from basketball. And he wanted to go live a dream that his dad had actually talked to him about. You know, you ought to quit and go play baseball. You ought to quit and go play baseball. So he quit and he went and played baseball. But I know that there's a lot of people that look at that and say, well, yeah, that was because the league made him leave. Now, I can't come up with a reason why the league would be like, we want less money. Like, everybody here has decided we're all okay. Guys, you okay? You okay with it? We're all okay? Yeah, we all want less money. Nobody here wants to make money. And so we want you to leave for a while. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but popular conspiracy theory when it comes to the NBA. Number 4 on our list, the NBA prefers large market teams. Something to think about. Just a small stat that I'd like you to keep in the back of your mind. In the past 36 years, there's only been 10 different franchises that have won the championship. Only 10 in 36 years? Yeah, you go over to like the NFL, there's a few more than that, isn't there? Go over to Major League Baseball, quite a few teams have won it. But in the NBA, 10 in 30, and it's probably, we could probably put a lot more years into that. But here's the teams that have won it. Here's the cities that have won it. See what they all have in common. See if these cities have anything in common. Los Angeles, the San Francisco Bay Area, Boston, Philadelphia, Detroit, Chicago, Houston, Dallas, San Antonio, Miami. What do they all have in common? That's pretty amazing. That's pretty amazing. They all have a lot of fans. And they all bring in huge TV ratings and huge sponsorship deals. Pretty amazing how that works, isn't it? Just a coincidence. I know. Number 3, top 5 NBA conspiracies. Has to be the 1985 draft. You know how every once in a while, there's this sure thing at the top of the draft? It doesn't happen, and we haven't seen it happen in quite a while. But, you know, you'll have the Shaquille O'Neal, you'll have the Tim Duncan, you'll have the LeBron James. Well, 1985 had that big time with Georgetown center Patrick Ewing. Everyone looked at Ewing and said, dude, this guy is he's going to be a great player for a long time. And at the time, what the NBA did when they did their lottery, so now you have the ping pong balls and whatever, and we can discuss how if that's clean or not. But what the NBA would do is they would take like the bottom six or seven teams, they would put the names in a big envelope, and then they would put the envelope in a big clear drum. They would spin the drum, they would randomly, of course, select who got the top pick. They would take the big envelope out, they would go set it under the team name, and then they would all open them and see who got first pick. So here are the teams that were in it in 1985. New York, Indiana, the Clippers, Seattle, Atlanta, Sacramento, and Golden State all had an envelope. They all had an envelope. Of course, we know that the NBA likes large market teams. We just talked about that on number four. New York, it would be kind of nice if the Knicks were good every once in a while. And the rumor is that the envelope for the Knicks had been frozen so that when David Stern reached his dirty little grubby hand in there, he would be able to find the cold one and put it up first. That's the rumor. There's also a rumor that the envelope was bent. It had a little bend in it. Now, you might sit there and say, well, what difference does it make? Here's the thing. If you go back and you watch this, it's on YouTube. You can go find it. When the guy comes out there, he has a stack of like six or seven envelopes. He tosses all of them in. He just kind of sets them in the bottom of the drum. One of them, he bangs against the side of the drum. Maybe it's just coincidence. I don't know. I don't have any idea. But here's how the draft went. First pick, the Knicks got Patrick Ewing. With the second pick, Indiana got Wayman Tisdale. The Clippers took Benoit Benjamin. Seattle took Xavier McDaniel. Atlanta took big man John Konkak. Sacramento got Joe Klein, and the Golden State Warriors ended up with Chris Mullin. But the Knicks got exactly who they wanted. Kind of amazing how that worked out, isn't it? Pretty impressive. The 1985 draft comes in at number three. Number two on our list, top five NBA conspiracies, has to be the 2007 NBA playoff game between the San Antonio Spurs and the Phoenix Suns. This was game four. The Spurs were up 2-1. The Suns took the lead late in the game, and Spurs forward Robert Horry body checks Suns point guard Steve Nash into the scoring table. Horry was ejected. Nash is knocked into the... I mean, this is a hard hit. This is a football hit. He blasted him. Horry gets ejected, but Suns players Rajah Bell, Amari Stoudemire, and Boris Diaw all left the bench to go make sure Steve Nash was, you know, alive, still functioning, still had a pulse. And, you know, it's kind of amazing. It just kind of worked out this way. But when they all got up to see how Nash was doing, kind of go to his aid, after the game, which the Suns, by the way, won, they held on and won the game. They won game four. The NBA suspended those players for leaving the bench. There was no fight. There was no real scuffle. They got up. They went and checked on their teammate. But David Stern said, nope. You left the bench. Sorry, got to suspend you. That's the letter of the law. That's what we have to do here. That's just how business works here at the NBA. We do things by the letter of the law, except when we don't. Needless to say, the Suns would lose the next two games without their top players. Those are pretty good players they lost. Stoudemire and Boris Diaw, are you kidding me? That's not even close. Spurs went on to finish it in six. Suns never won another game. Number two on our list, Suns versus Spurs in 2007. And the number one conspiracy on our list. What else could it be? This is the one. 2002. Game six. The lowly, small market Sacramento Kings actually led the Lakers 3-2 in this series. And if they won this game, they would be going to the NBA Finals. The game was tied going into the fourth quarter. And in the fourth quarter, the Los Angeles Lakers shot 27 free throws. At one point in the game, Kobe Bryant full-on elbowed Mike Bibby directly in his face, right in front of an official. No call, no foul. Now, you might sit there and say, well, you're biased. You're biased. You know who's not biased? NBA reporter, Washington, D.C. columnist Mike Wilbon, who said, I counted at least six stunning calls. And every single one of them went against the Kings. Sacramento forward Chris Webber said that the game felt sinister. It didn't matter what we did. We knew they would call it against us. The Lakers won 106-102. Then they eked out a game seven that was very, very close. And of course, rogue NBA ref Tim Donaghy said, oh yeah, the fix was in on that one. You had to check the spread. You had to know how that was going to go. They wanted that series to go seven. They wanted to make sure that the Lakers won, and they did. They made sure of it by awarding free throw after free throw down the stretch. I don't know. You know, of course, the Lakers ended up winning game seven. They went to the finals. They beat the New Jersey Nets. So when I see Draymond Green not suspended when he's down 3-1, and then get suspended when the Warriors are up 3-1, it makes me wonder just a little bit. Would the NBA manipulate the outcome of games? I mean, could that happen? Well, I don't know. But they may have before. Hey, next week on the show, we will recap the NBA Finals. We know we might actually, I can't believe I'm going to say this. We might actually have to talk some Copa American soccer. I know. I don't know what's gotten into me. But we might have to talk a little bit. The USA plays Ecuador on Thursday. We might have to talk a little bit about that. And of course, as we do every single week, we will get to our Daily Dose Top 5, always a popular segment on the show. Hey, if you get a chance, go to wherever it is that you download the podcast from. Give us just a quick 5-star rating and review. We would appreciate that so much. That does help us as we try to get seen by a few more people. If you get a chance, head over to rogueintel.com. We do have a forum page over there, and we would love to hear from you. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. Hope you all have a great week. I will see you all next week.